Hello and welcome to the Public Health is Essential podcast by the Washington State Public Health Association. My name is Megan Moore.
And I'm Gloria Rogers.
And it is week 11 of the Washington State legislative session, and it's budget week.
Wow, finally.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been talking about this since the last session.
It definitely feels like that. And I think we actually have been talking about this since last session.
Is budget week an official part of session? I don't see it on the cutoff calendar.
You know, that's just what we call it. We call it budget week. But this week is when a lot of budget action gets started. So you're not going to see it on the cutoff calendar. Just know that budget writers have been working on this since before session. Like, as soon as they knew they were elected and which positions they were in, they started this before session and have been working on it hours and hours every single day since then. So it's finally time to see what they've been working on.
That is very exciting, but I can tell that some people are just a little more excited about it than others.
Yeah. It definitely takes a very nerdy person to get excited about the budget.
I wasn't going to say it.
No, I totally get it. So it's definitely a wonky thing to be excited about budgets, but I hope that all of our listeners can be excited about it because it's so integral to the way that we do policy work. Like, it's so important to know this context, and also The budget is like the whole thing. That's why we do a long session. So, okay, both the Senate and the House released their proposed operating and transportation budgets yesterday, Monday the 24th. So they will hear both of those bills today in their fiscal committees at 4 o'clock. Then the bills will get shuttled to their respective floors, and they hope to pass them off the floors both by Saturday. So all of this is happening like super fast, super charged.
Wow, that's very fast.
Yeah.
And you said last week that these budgets are just like bills. So they need to have hearings and executive sessions and debates, just like any bill. Is there anything different about budgets?
You're right. Yeah, they are just like a regular bill. So they need to pass all of those things. But I think the main difference is that they actually like bypass the rules for how long they need to do those things. So usually there is a certain number of days that an action has to wait before they can do the next thing. So for these bills, they decide to bypass the rules and expedite the whole process. That's why they can get it all done in a whole week.
So essentially it's the same process, but just sped up.
Yeah, exactly. You got it. So the budget bills will be expedited through this process, and then eventually one of the bills will die and the other one will be a combo of the two bills. So like I said, both chambers released their first drafts yesterday, and both bills included cuts, deep cuts, as we expected. And the cuts are critical to fill this budget gap. Like, we knew they were coming. But both bills also included really unique ways for the state to bring in money.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they took the fact that voters overwhelmingly turned down the initiative to repeal the capital gains tax, as well as the one to repeal the Climate Commitment Act, as a mandate to overhaul the tax code into something that is just much more progressive. So currently, Washington has the second most regressive tax code in the nation. And we actually had first place, the worst state in the whole nation for regressive taxes, until we passed the capital gains tax just a few years ago. So this means that those in the lowest tax bracket, so our poorest neighbors, they pay a much higher tax than those in the higher tax brackets. A large portion of our state's budget actually comes from sales tax, which you probably can feel as you're paying for very expensive things like toilet paper and eggs and whatever else. Like, we feel the sales tax, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Even in this budget crisis, though, they were able to find a way to decrease the sales tax. So they're trying to reduce the taxes on the lowest tax bracket neighbors and increase the tax on the wealthiest individuals in the state. And hopefully this is going to help the everyday person.
And how did they do that?
First of all, their revenue packages are different, but you can tell that they work together. So a lot of their proposals align, and some of them are different. So let me just say that first. Both of them are proposing something to tax assets like stocks, bonds, exchange traded funds, mutual funds, index funds. Like, if you don't even know what those things mean, then this is not going to apply to you. So both proposals exempt the first $50 million in assessed value. Again, we're not talking about you and me. If you're worried about the price of eggs, this one is not going to apply to you. This one only applies to about 4,300 individuals in the state. Also, both the House and the Senate are proposing an adjustment to the amounts that locals can tax properties. So currently, there's a 1% cap on property taxes in our state constitution. Their proposals would allow locals to make adjustments with inflation up to 3%. So now this could actually impact the middle class, but we know that the wealthy will pay more in this case, right? They wealthy tend to have higher valued homes, higher valued properties, and maybe multiple properties. So a majority of both of these revenue options would pay for K through 12 education, which we know is the most expensive thing in the state budget because it's constitutionally mandated. So K through 12 education takes up like this giant portion of our budget, which is great if you have kids in school here, right? Like, you want a well-funded education. But it also takes away revenue from every other thing that we need funded. And they're really trying to figure out unique options for how to pay for that. And lastly, they also propose taxes on the highest earning employers, with the Senate proposing a removal of the employer payroll taxes cap, which would apply to about 5,000 companies. And the House would increase the B&O tax, which would apply to about 400 companies. So again, like just the most well-off companies.
Okay, so it's about to get really expensive to live here if you're very rich or if you have a very successful business.
Yes, yes. It seems that some sort of taxes on the most wealthy are going to make it through this year. But that is going to bring us in line with other states. So we currently take it really easy on our wealthiest residents, which is probably why so many of them live here, right? It really is time in Washington state to start to flip the tax code a little bit. Another proposal that is not actually like an increased tax, but is a cleanup of our tax code, is the Senate proposal to close 20 loopholes in our tax code. These are small loopholes, but if they're closed, they would save the state about $1 billion over a four-year period. The Joint Legislative Audit and Review Committee, which we call JLARC, they did a study on our tax code a few years ago and determined that these 20 things are just not relevant anymore. They're things like exemption for the sales of syrup, for the sales of petroleum that's older than 1989. It removes the property tax exemptions for nonprofit student loan organizations and a lot more. It's pretty crazy that some of these things are still on the books, but the reason why it would save is because it does tighten up what the staff have to focus on, right? So narrowing in their scope can really save the state money.
That's so interesting. The sale of syrup? Right. What a thought.
I know.
So the budget bills have these revenue options. They have the cuts. Is there anything else that makes up the operating budgets?
Great question. Yes. So another really big part of the budget is made up of what are called provisos. And these are sums of money that are included in the budget, sometimes as an ongoing expense, but sometimes and oftentimes as a one-time expense. So there could be a paragraph in the budget that says this much money is dedicated to Bremerton City Park for construction of a new playground. Or this money is dedicated to this organization to implement a program to give free ice cream to kids for only for the summer of 2026. Something like that, like very time specific. There are often chunks of money inserted to the budget by request of legislators, community members, cities, counties, organizations, and they're not usually tied to a bill. So the other large portion of the budget is bills. And this part isn't complete right now. Like we don't know what bills have passed yet, right? So we don't know how they're going to fund them. A lot of bills have a clause at the end that says this whole bill isn't going to happen if the state doesn't fund this. And so we still have the whole next month to see what bills pass, to see which ones make it into the budget. At this point, they do have to pay for all of those bills. So it eventually all does come together in the next month.
It's so interesting that none of this is like part of the usual process. Is this something that you just learn on the job?
Definitely. And we teach each other. Like, I think that everybody can point to someone else that taught them how to do the budgets. So hopefully our listeners are getting a budget lesson today from us.
And how can our listeners find the draft budgets?
Oh, so this is another quote unquote secret. The budgets actually have their own website, which nobody even knows about until the budgets come out. It's www.fiscal.wa.gov. And this is where you can find all of the changes that are made going forward to the budget documents. Yes, the changes will eventually be on the Ledge website if you look up the bill number for the budget bills. But I would check fiscal.wa.gov for the most recent versions. And this is especially important when they kill one and the other one keeps going. Like, check that website, and that's where you'll know all of the details.
Good to know. And in the meantime, we're still hearing bills in policy committee through April 2nd, right? That's the next cutoff?
Yep. And the hearings are packing in before the next cutoff. Like, I noticed a bunch of bills are scheduled in the next week and a half. And also, the bills just keep coming. Like, the revenue generating bills are coming in. So this is something that we do see in a normal session, but it's something I think unique to this budget landscape is they are accepting more and more ideas for revenue generating options. So if a bill happens to have some sort of, like, if it's going to give money to the state, then they want to hear it now. So these bills keep dropping on a daily basis that are like, what about this option? What about this option? What about this? So it's kind of hard to keep up, to be honest, because you're like kind of back at square one reviewing all these brand new bills at the same time that you're working on these bills that have been heard over, you know, multiple times. So anyways, all that to say, I haven't caught up to give our listeners numbers yet.
Okay, and what's our homework for the week?
Okay, your homework, listeners, is to explore fiscal.wa.gov and also just turn on TBW. Just have it on in the background of what you're doing. There's a lot of press releases that are happening this week, and they are explaining more in detail of these new revenue options. They're explaining the budgets. Like, you're going to learn a lot, probably more than just reading the budget, if you turn on TBW.
Yes, TBW is amazing. I cannot say that enough. Okay, well, we will talk to you all next week.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Public Health is Essential podcast by the Washington State Public Health Association. Hope you have a great week.